Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
I picked names from China.
And I picked caffeinated beverages.
Okay.
That's so good. If we're starting with statements of preparedness, I've leveled up.
Oh, I love that. And I know some people who've been listening for quite a while know the difference between caffeinated Kelly and uncaffeinated Kelly.
And two-cup caffeinated Kelly.
Yeah, true. So the person who's passed over, I'm named May. And the client's name is Chen.
Okay.
And the client shows up and just says to me, I understand you do medium. I'm looking to connect to a person named May. And of course, I forgot to say this when I said the names. We make up the names.
Well, yeah.
And I know our regular listeners know that. If this is your first podcast listening to us, we don't ever divulge a person's real name.
Unless they've asked us to do a show on them and give their name like Dee Dee.
Exactly. So that's why I said I picked these names and I picked China, because I'm going around the world. And I want people to hear that I am literally picking every country I can think of and finding names. There's no, I'm picking countries of a certain political or a certain religious. I'm not doing anything. And I'm not excluding either. I'm just doing every country I can get to. Okay, so Chen asks me if I can reach May. And May says to me, I'm her sister. So I confirm that with Chen. And she says, yes, like I should know.
It's so funny what people, like the faith that they have in us, and yeah, then immediately like that they just think we should know everything, but then they'll say like, how do you know that? And you're like, wait, you just had utter faith.
Yeah.
And now you're questioning this?
Yeah. I get that though, because I feel I do the same. Like I feel like I can do the same thing sometimes.
To the spirit guides?
To the spirit guides. Okay. Where I have utter faith in the spirit guides, and if they say make a left turn, I'll make a left turn. And then at other times, why left turn? Why? Mm-hmm. Right? So like,
we're just moody as fuck is what you're saying as humans.
I guess so. God, that's a good way to look at it. But like that going back and forth between having faith and not having any faith and testing and not testing. And like, so I get that. So, and I'll just continue. So I say to May, is there something in particular and why she wants to reach out to you? And she said, yes. She said, I want to show you some things and it's all going to pertain to that. So I said, okay. So then, you know how I call it the TV screen? Mm-hmm. That comes up and I see it. And I see, I'll say a young woman. And I go to May, who's the young woman? And she goes, oh, that's me. And there's a man in the screen. And I said, what's going on? What's the relationship? This is my boyfriend. Oh, okay. What are you showing? Like, what's happening? Are you going to narrate it? What's going on? She said, yes, I will narrate it. I will explain things and show it to you. There's volume. You can also turn it up to hear conversations. And I know you know that because you do it as well. I'm just explaining it for people listening that there is control. And I think some people think we have a ton of it, and sometimes we have none of it.
That would be accurate.
Yes, and that's accurate too. So I'm able to listen to it, and I see, and I have May narrating and answering my questions, and what unfolds is that the relationship between the two of them is unhealthy. And she's pointing out the ways that it's unhealthy. And I turned to May and I said, are you doing this intentionally to give examples? And I'm supposed to actually give the examples to Chen? Yes. And I said, oh, okay. So I kind of have to really slow it down and I really have to pay attention. And I'm not concerned because I'm not thinking I have to have 50 or I even have to have 5. I just have to have one really good example where Chen goes, yes, to give Chen the information so that she can go, yes, that is something that I spoke to her about. So I listen and I watch. And May gives me information for one good example between her and her partner that May knows Chen has seen and has commented on. And that's the key. So I do that. It takes me, a couple of minutes. And then I explain it to Chen and I say, okay, May is showing me this particular situation and it's between her and her partner. And so I describe it where there's a form of verbal abuse. And what it is it's gaslighting. And I explain the word gaslighting. I say it to Chen and she goes, I didn't know what the word was. Thank you. But yes, that happened. It was a significant thing that I pointed out to May. Okay, say no more. So I go back to May and I say, May, continue. And she says, I'm pointing out where my partner gaslit me, meaning he made me question my own sense of my own reality. Okay, so I said, why is that important to Chen? Because Chen saw him doing that to me and she saw my self-esteem dropping in that dating period. And then I said, okay, then what happened? And she goes, he caught on that Chen knew and that Chen was telling me because I was confronting him about the behavior. I didn't know the word gaslighting, but I would say you lied, you manipulated me, you did this. Chen said, Chen noticed, and she would bring it up. So the boyfriend decides, I better get the ring fast. And then I get to see the next screen and I see him proposing to May and May wants a marriage. She wants that. So I said, May, what happened at that point then? Explain this. And she goes, I wanted a marriage. She said, I wanted a guy. I wanted the kids. I wanted the thing, that whole life thing. And I said, okay, so is that why you took him? Oh, yes, she said, because I believed growing up that I wasn't enough. I didn't think I was pretty enough, smart enough, everything. Just I'm not enough. And because the belief I'm not enough, I think I have to take any partner, any guy, because there may never be another.
And then we're also layered as women with the belief that it's your job to also keep or maintain a man.
Yes. Okay. You're ahead of me.
Those are two fucked up
yeah.
things that really play off of each other.
Eggs. And it did for May. But Chen sees it. So Chen sees this and what's going on in May, the belief that she's not enough right from childhood, right from day one, because May is the scapegoat. She's the one that's not enough, and Chen is the one that is enough. She is. She's pretty enough, smart enough, and the parents build her and destroy May. But Chen sees what's going on in the family, the discrepancy, and why? Because she loves May. So I say all of this, and Chen is looking at me, and she goes, you got this. And she's so happy because I got it. Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh my God. She says, you're telling me exactly what I needed to hear. She says, I have a million questions for May. I said, okay, just give me a minute. I still need a little bit more time to download what May's trying to say and do, and then ask your questions. So she agrees. Yep. Thanks, Karen. Give it a go. Which is great. I'm pointing that out because there's communication here between Chen and I and May and I. So I go back to May and I say, what else are you wanting to do? And she said, well, he proposes to me and I accept the proposal. And I said, okay. She says, but you have to tell Chen because of that belief. So I do. Then I go on, what's next? And she says, Chen comes around while we're married and she's constantly pointing out what my husband's doing to abuse me. But she doesn't do it in front of him because she doesn't want to shame me. So she always does it when the two of us are alone. But my husband figures that out. So he decides he can't leave me alone with Chen. So he's like, you get to see where May is now learning how, because she's dead, how manipulated she was because of those beliefs those beliefs allowed her to be manipulated. So she says, Chen, because I believe that, I allowed him to manipulate me. And Chen sits and goes, okay, that's answering one of my questions. I couldn't understand why she chose not to listen to me. I was her sister. I knew her better than him. Why didn't she trust me? That was one of the questions. How come? And so now May is helping Chen have some understanding as to why she put her husband and what he was saying and doing above Chen's love for her.
Was Chen married or with someone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ends up coming out later. And I'll just skip to that quickly, that Chen picked a partner that's healthier, which is healthier and loves her and loves May. He loves them as family. So Chen and her husband are able to see what's going on. Chen speaks to her sister, but you don't see where her husband tags along to do it.
Regardless, like it's great that you're sharing. Obviously, that's part of the story. In May's mind, though, if the messaging that she received was you're not enough, but your sister is, and your sister also happens to have the societal success that we keep shaming you for not having, even though Chen shows up with love and healthy intention, it's constantly subconsciously threatening.
Yes.
Because, well, that's nice, Chen, but you have all the things and you're doing all the things and I have to be over here working to keep all the things to look like I have it together.
Yes.
Like Chen's existence serves as evidence that May is still not enough and Chen has it together on top of the fact that Chen actually picks a healthy partner. Like that's too much for someone who's buried in shame.
Yes. And that is exactly what comes through for Chen and for May, where May says, this is what happened. This is how I felt. Every time you showed up to tell me that I had shit, I'll just call it shit for a second because it really is shit.
Yeah, it just confirms the feelings of, oh, right, that's right. I'm not doing enough. I'm not enough.
Yes.
I'm doing it wrong.
And so eventually what I get to see is that May can't stand it. And she sees no way out of the marriage. She sees no way that she can survive any of it. She doesn't know, she can't see any way out, period. So she just feels this is my cage and I have to stay in this cage. She doesn't see any other options. And Chen says at that point, yes, I gave her an option. And I said, no, she doesn't see it as an option. Mm-hmm. And she goes, no, that's not true. And she really gets into a fight with me personally.
Yeah, you can have a bedroom free, lined up with for the kids, like the children and everything. And it's still not an option in May's mind.
That's exactly. Because Chen offered her a room in her home, mm-hmm. to live in, and she offers her financial support. She offers her all the things that May needs.
Yeah,
and this is why Chen and her, in particular, can't understand why she didn't choose it.
Can I try something?
Yeah,
I'm gonna do this, like without activating myself. And without being a dick or wagging my finger, this episode and this story of these sisters should speak to every parent listening to this show. And if it doesn't, like, restart this episode and listen to it from the perspective of how you are choosing to parent or how you parented if that role is done. Because when you do not seek the healthy tools to know and understand the impact of your language, your comparisons, your unhealthy, disproportionate consequences you give your children, the messages that you send your children, it has the ability to destroy a life and destroy relationships between siblings who, like Chen, genuinely love each other and can offer one of your children the opportunity to save their own life. And May, I'm not sure how her story ends, may have completely ended her life, even though love was standing there saying, I'm here and we can do this. They can't hear it, they can't see it because of every subconscious and maybe overt messaging that you've given them. Like, that is the responsibility of parenting. And I don't think anyone has sex and says, let's make a baby, thinking about that thing and that level of responsibility that you are signing up for and then neglecting. Was that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
It was wonderful.
Like, that, to me, our world that is hurting is a parenting issue. Because we're all growing up flailing our arms and kicking up, you know, dirt because of our temper tantrums that we never were given tools for as kids. And we're all just running around here like uncared for children.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In spite of the fact that we have so many Chens on this earth who are trying to fix that.
Yes.
Or heal that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
So then I listened to May and I said, what's next? And she said, well, she said, I stayed in that marriage. And she said, I got cancer.
I was going to say, this is a suicide, an autoimmune disorder, or cancer.
Yeah.
Like, you have one of a few fates.
Yeah. Yeah. So she said, I ended up with cancer. And she said, what happened during cancer was that Chen tried to come to my home to see me. And I said, let me guess, your husband isolates you from Chen until you die. And she goes, oh, yes. And it's, okay, we saw that coming, right? Like,
yeah, the narc has to survive. So, like, you've also got one of a few options here.
Yep.
Isolate your wife.
Exactly. And then I said, and let me guess, he allows healthcare workers to come in and take care of you because he doesn't want to do it. So let's pay for strangers to come in, caring strangers. We're not putting anybody down in healthcare. Mm-hmm. Thank God they're there, especially for the spouses of narcissistic people, right? Because the narcissist is never going to take care of you. So you are going to have to rely on professionals to take care of you.
And hope to God that they're compassionate and good at their job. And those two things don't always go hand in hand.
Yes, very much. Now, I don't know the answer to that. I just know that she shows that that people, professionals, do come in to care for her. And that her husband shows appropriate behaviors while they're there, which is continues in alignment with what narcissists believe and want, a good image. Mm-hmm. But that after that, that when they're gone or not present, that he just goes into being who he is. So there's that issue. And I explain that to Chen and she goes, okay. She goes, that is answering one of my questions. I struggled not knowing how my sister was being treated when she had cancer, not knowing how she was going to die without me, if she was going to have any peace or have any of her needs met. And she said, it tormented me. Every day I cried until I heard she died, because I knew that with what this man is. So she said, I went to the house many times begging to come in to care for her, to take her. I offered to her husband for me and my husband to take care of my sister in her death. And, you know, I tried to convince him, oh, it won't be a bother. You can live your life. She said, I even tried to fluff him up narcissistically, but he wanted to control his wife to the very last breath. And he wanted to punish me. He wanted to hurt me. Mm-hmm. So she said, I had to finally walk away. And the day I walked away, I got into my car and I sat there and I bawled. And I want to know. And I said, never mind. I know what you want to know. I said, May is answering you. You want to know if she knows that you sat in that car outside of her house crying because of how much you loved her and couldn't be there for her. And that you need to, for her soul to know that you wanted to and that you would have and that you tried. And she went, biggest question on my page. She goes, it's in all caps. And I said, May needs you to know she knows. And then Chen goes, okay, go on. She goes, my heart. She says, I feel like there's burdens and chains coming off of it because this has bothered me since May has died. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. I said, so she's saying to you and answering you, right? And she goes, yeah. So I said, May, what else do you want to tell her? And she said, I want her to know that I love her. It looked like I didn't because I chose to live with my husband who clearly didn't love me, but I stayed with for all of the wrong reasons that were unhealthy, but were my entire life of living unhealthy. And she said, I want to stand here today and tell my sister, I know you love me. She wants that. She needs to hear the words that I know. So I say that to Chen and she goes, okay. She goes, I needed that. I needed to know that she knows. It drives me crazy wondering because the whole thing's confusing to me. Mm-hmm. If she had known that I loved her, even on earth, then why didn't she pick love? That was my biggest question. Why didn't she choose love? Go ahead.
We've said this a million times, like love is not enough sometimes. And while, you know, I'll claim to be an idealist in my life for sure, I also know that love is often not enough, right? Two people can love each other and want to fix things and it can't be fixed. And two people can loathe each other in this situation and love comes in and says, I'll take care of you. But the chaos is more familiar. And so we pick it because love looks terrifying. It's so unfamiliar. It doesn't feel safe. You know, shame is so huge. Sometimes it can trump an offering of love because we can't pull ourselves out of our own shame or we don't have the tools or the team to help pull us out of shame long enough to accept love. Like it's, and I say this all so that people can grow in compassion for one another and so that they can grow in compassion for themselves if they've been stuck in a situation like this. And also to kind of, if you are the Chen in this story, so that you can also free yourself from this idea that I didn't do enough in love. Right? If love mm-hmm. didn't win, maybe I didn't try hard enough. And it's like that, that's also often not the case.
Mm-hmm. I think that last comment that you made had a lot to do with how Chen was starting to feel that she could heal.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, okay, I know May knows I loved her. So that was enough somehow but if Chen can't get her head, and you got to see like how she's trying to like, this doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do if it doesn't make sense? But now you have to understand it from the other person's perspective that doesn't know what it's like to be loved.
Yeah, I'm just going to reword what you said. We all have a tendency to make things personal or to understand the situation as personal. So if Chen is making this about her and her love, and she fails to see that this is actually about May and May's shame,
mm-hmm.
then you can actually come to an understanding, not saying it's right, but you can come to an understanding and say, oh, it's understandable that, fill in the blank, she can't access love, she can't accept this, etc. And it's not to say give up, it's to be able to say, I can wrap my head around how this situation can happen.
It's perfect, Kelly, because that's what Chen experiences in the session where we have to have that chat where she figures out it's me. I'm looking at it from my own perspective, my own thinking, instead of what May was thinking. And that's why she booked with a medium.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know what May was thinking.
Yep.
I've been stuck in my perspective of it.
And I think that's where therapy doesn't stand a chance. And we're big proponents for therapy.
Oh, yes.
I'm in it. Like, don't get me wrong. Therapists don't have those skills. So if you're sitting there as Chen saying, I feel abandoned, by my sister, and the therapist digs hard into abandonment issues, but never has the ability to say, May couldn't get to that point. This wasn't about you being abandoned. Mm-hmm. This was about May's shame, and you're making it about you. We have to deal with two different issues here. Mm-hmm. How does Chen ever get that perspective or healing? I think that's the gift and the beauty of medium / psychic.
Thank you. There's a conversation there too, Kelly, between Chen and I and May and the spirit guides, where the guides talk to Chen about the fact that in her own mind and in her own heart, she was so angry with her parents and how they treated May that she chose May over her parents. Mm-hmm. So she chooses May, and then May turns around and doesn't choose her. Yeah. And so Chen is so angry with May that, right? She's so angry with her because it's like, well, wait a minute. I see what mom and dad did, and I'm choosing you. I'm mad at mom and dad for you. And yet you're going back to mom and dad's with this guy. Mm-hmm. And so now Chen is like, wait a minute. How did I get shoved out of the family?
Oh, yeah. You and I are sitting on this couch having both experienced that in our families of origin.
Yeah.
Where the siblings are like, okay, it's you and me. We got this. And the other sibling goes, no, I'm going to choose to seek the love that won't be given to me.
Yes.
And stay in my wound.
Yes.
And again, it's understandable that.
Yes. And so May and the guides and Chen and I have that conversation around Chen's hurt and how and therapy, as you mentioned earlier. So let's bring that up too, that it's important for Chen to go to therapy to understand how May would pick a man like her parents and then choose her parents and her husband right to her the end of her life over Chen, which is love. And May showing up through me, through a medium, to say, okay, this is why I did this. I didn't break these patterns. I didn't do this work. You were doing the work. I wasn't doing any of it. And then where May says at the end of the session to Chen, I thank you for what you, the every opportunity you gave me. I thank you for the love you tried to give me. I thank you and I want to acknowledge that you did all of this work. And then in that moment is when we see Chen sitting there going and taking these really deep breaths. I thought she was going to start crying, but she didn't. But you can literally just see where she's just taking her breaths in and out as she hears each of those statements.
Mm-hmm. I know you don't have a lot of memory for sessions. I know you don't have a lot of memory for episodes that we've recorded. And I know that'll boggle some people's minds because you narrate these, but I know that you have to write notes after sessions, hoping that you've, you know, kept up with the details.
They have to send me the recording.
Right. What I wanted to say is that we've done a very similar episode of Coffee with the Sarlows, and I will often sit on the couch being like, ooh, did she reread the same notes, or is this going to be a different situation? And I bring this up because it's also happening in the reels where people are commenting similar things to the effect that it's so interesting that we're all out here having different experiences, yet all the same experience. Whether it's just a variety of, you know, the different roles, meaning like this is the problem I'm having with my dad or this is the problem I'm having with my sister, we're all experiencing the same core issues or core wounds, thinking that we are isolated, lonely, the only ones going through it and feeling disconnected. And I think that's also the beauty of the reels and the show is to be able to allow people to find pieces of themselves in these stories where they might feel too much shame to share their own. Mm-hmm. They've isolated themselves unknowingly because they don't want to be judged or they don't want to be maybe held accountable to some of the changes. And yet they hear something in this episode or something in a reel that speaks to them, that pushes them to want to do something different, head in a different direction. And that's, I love it so much, right? Because if even if it just creates a tiny vision of clarity, that can be enough to put one foot in front of the other, right? And that's all the difference in this world.
Well, that's what we're both hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.